welcome to episode 213 of the Muck Podcast. Listen in as we discuss the dark and sometimes weird true stories in American politics. I'm Tina Jaramillo.
And I'm Hillary Doherty. Hi!
Hillary, yes. First of all, this is coming out on your birthday. And I am a horrible human being.
That's not true.
It is 100% true. And I feel awful. But I have to tell you, I'm very excited about what I'm giving you.
Yeah.
And I just can't wait. Yeah. And I'm so sorry I fucked everything up.
You know
up.
What this reminds, first of all, not at all. And you know what this reminds me of? When I wanted to celebrate our 200th episode, I kept asking Tina what we're doing. And I didn't ask her about my birthday because I was like, well, Tina knows.
Yeah.
Same thing.
For some reason, Tina was like,
200. And I was like, yeah, right, Tina, right.
I just, in my brain, kept thinking it was a week away. And it's, you know, all my fault. And I should have paid attention. And the way God that, damn it.
Listen.
Damn it.
No, listen. Tina's very busy. Yeah, she got upset, which I was like, I feel bad. I feel really bad. Tina got upset. Tina got a lot going on.
I have too much going on.
Yeah.
I need a vacation from my life.
Yeah.
I really do. I just want to run away. Just like sit on a fucking beach and drink a margarita and celebrate your birthday.
Yeah.
You know?
But on the beach, I want a tent.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what I don't want to be in the sun.
I want to be in the shade. I want to lay on a lounge chair, and I want to fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Remember the days of laying out directly in the sun?
Yeah. Like assholes.
Like
crispy bacon.
Crispy. I would put baby oil.
Oh, honey.
What was the banana boat?
Yeah.
The banana boat oil?
Yeah.
The coconut smelling one.
Remember the advertisement where the little girl had her bathing suit being pulled
down
by the
copper tone. Copper tone. Yes.
That was in Miami, right?
Yes. Yeah, and that one smelled good too.
Yeah. Oh, they all smelled good.
And
you smelled good in the sun. Like you're cooking yourself in that oil. Yeah. Coconut oil.
But I would also lay out not only at the beach, I would lay out in my friend's front yard.
Dude, let me tell
you something. Car's driving by.
Girl, I just saw a fucking meme, and it was like, I'm this old. And it was two girls in the back. They had the towels on the grass in the backyard. And I was like, I remember my mother doing that with her friends. I remember laying out back there just on the grass with the towel.
On the grass.
God knows what the fuck's
crawling
up.
And then I had a friend, my dear friend April, who, you know, I think she listens now and then.
Oh.
And she had like a beautiful, she lived in a beautiful, like a two story, which was like, you know, in Florida, like,
yeah,
ooh.
It's a big deal.
And we laid out on her, you know, climbed out the window and like on the roof.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved being here in the sun.
I still enjoy it, but I need to have a purpose. I need to have a purpose. Am I pulling weeds? Am I mowing the lawn? Am I going for a walk? Like if I'm going to sweat, there better be a reason I'm doing it.
Well, now I slather myself with like the highest SPF that you can have.
No, I need shade.
I'm like, I got to protect the skin. What was I thinking?
No. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, Hillary, happy motherfucking birthday.
Now that's a birthday message that I like. I like it.
Happy motherfucking birthday.
Thank you. Listen, we're going to be doing all things together.
It's
going to
be amazing.
I'm not worried about it.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. And I have my kids.
And we're going to have a post-birthday celebration on this fucking podcast because that's what we're going to do.
That's fine.
Okay? Because I want you to open up what I very much want you to open this present.
On the air.
On the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll have my kids on my birthday. I'm excited. It's going to be a good birthday. Renaissance Festival, I hope.
Oh, my. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be
fun.
I'm
doing that.
I've never been. I'm excited.
All right. First of all, the first thing we're getting is the candied nuts. They have these candied nuts that they make. They're so good. The mead. Got to drink that mead.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that like beer?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like honey and spices. It's like, yeah.
That's
and
good.
Then,
can I get one of those cone hats with like the long?
Yes. Yeah. They have all of the things.
Like the fairy tale princess hats.
Yes. They have all of the things. And then, you know, people will come up to you and they'll start talking to you.
Like in character.
And yeah.
This
is
going to be fun.
It's going to be so much. I haven't gone in years.
I've never been. I'm so excited. I'm going to bring the kids. Are you bringing your kids?
So my husband is like, you're not bringing them to that.
Why?
And I'm like, what?
Do I need to know something?
Is it inappropriate?
No.
Okay, so what?
No, he's just it's like it's weirdos? Wasteful. It's no, it's oh, wasteful and it's stupid. That his response was it's wasteful and it's stupid.
Oh, dang it.
And I'm like, but it's fun.
Okay.
So maybe.
That's my kind of jam.
Yeah.
Wasteful, so, stupid, fun?
Yeah. Yes. So if there's a game, one of them may not come. The other one, you know. I think it would be fun for the boys.
Yeah, they would have fun.
And I think even the older ones would have fun.
Well, we're about to find out.
And then what else? Oh, you know what? Yesterday, my son was in a Black History Showcase Expo his school. And so I guess kids had to do these, you know, the tri-fold board.
Yeah.
And everything was, you know, he's like, oh, I need a costume. I was like, oh, when? In 2 days. So I had Amazon and So I guess they picked kids to participate in it. So all the kids had to do the project and then they picked kids to be the people.
So he
got picked.
Nice.
To be one of the people. And it's like a wax museum. So you're supposed to walk up and then
they start talking. I love it.
So being the nerdy teacher that I am, I went to all the kids. I'm like, tell me. And they were like, and then, but it was all my son's mom.
Yeah.
And, I saw one of his friends and he was just like, Tina. It was so cute. And yeah, it was really, really nice. And then singers, performers, then they had this art thing for the parents where we, painted, it was, the African continent and doing blending of the colors. And it was so relaxing.
Nice.
It was really nice. It was a long event. I was exhausted by the time I got home. And just completely other things in my life just kind of came crashing on my head as I was coming home from a nice event. But it was really good.
Nice.
And it was really cool to see the kids.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it.
Yes.
So first of all, last week you talked about Nex Benedict, who was murdered at school, this trans child in Oklahoma. And I follow a couple trans groups on Facebook, and one of them had posted this statement from Sue Benedict, who's the mother of Nex.
I read that, yeah.
Because
she's getting attacked. Or she was.
So fucking nuts to me. And I really want to say this real quick. I am all for woke in the way that we are aware of everyone around us and how we should move through spaces, right? And how white people should be aware of privilege. And I'm on board. You got me. I support it. I'm here for it. This statement reminded me so much of early days of Women's March. When you had an influx of white women who refused to recognize that white feminism is a real fucking problem, and it is. And unless you're going to step back and start really listening and unlearning all of your racial bias, you're going to constantly be called out. Where sometimes it was appropriate, but sometimes it was so ridiculous that it really chased people away who wanted to do work and maybe needed a little bit extra conversation of here's why they're saying this to you, right? They're calling you out or calling you in or whatever.
Right.
We don't do that to victims' mothers, okay? We don't fucking do it.
Yeah,
this statement shocked me. I'm going to read her statement real quick, but I can't fucking believe that anybody would say shit to this family. They just lost their child. Fuck you.
And
that's her statement should have been, go fuck yourself.
Right. And I think people need to understand that if you're someone in spaces, we're in LGBTQ plus spaces, and so we have a different perspective than everybody, not everybody else, but from a lot of people. And I think that depending on your background, there's all sorts of things that a parent might grapple with trying to understand if their child is trans and trying to, deal with that transition, because they're dealing with emotions too. Your child is transitioning, but there's a lot of emotions that must be going through with that, right? Because people have ideas and hopes and dreams and whatever it is for their child, and they don't know how to deal with something that might disrupt what their vision of their child's future is. And it's okay for people, I think, to learn and give people some grace to learn how to navigate it. And I was equally shocked with the fact that she had to come out.
Yes, but and even like
almost apologize.
Yes, and let me say something.
And it's
else.
Like you're her but child you know what? Died. Like,
even if it was one of us and one of our kids came to us and said they were trans, I would also have to learn and use the correct pronouns. Use their no longer use their dead name, which is whatever their name was given to them at birth, because this is all that I've known of this child.
Right.
And now to support them and be the best parent I can be, which is constantly learning and understanding that I'm trying to make them feel safe and comfortable. You're going to make mistakes and your child forgives you for that. What you don't get is a backlash like this. It's fucking ridiculous. So her statement says, quote, "We at this time are thankful for the ongoing support and do not expect the love from everyone. We are sorry for not using their name correctly. And as parents, we were still learning the correct forms. Please do not judge us as Next was judged. Please do not bully us for our ignorance on the subject. Next gave us that respect and we are sorry in our grief that we overlooked them. I lost my child. The headstone will have the correct name of their choice. The rest of the monies will go to other children dealing with the right to be who they feel they are in Next Benedict's name. God bless," end quote. Holy shit.
I know. Like, can you imagine?
I got to tell you. That
if you're grieving and then people are hating you.
But like even the wave of support you're getting, does that even hold up when you're also getting a wave of like, don't use their name. Don't. Fuck.
Leave them alone. Give them privacy.
Yeah,
how about that?
Who the fuck are you? Who are you to these people? Mind your own fucking business. That's the problem with social media now. Everybody thinks that their opinion matters. It doesn't. You're nobody. You mean nothing to these people. How dare you? I mean, my God. You lose a child and you got to put a statement out like that? What's wrong with us? Mm. It's shocking to me. It's shocking to me.
It's...
People go too far.
Yeah. And I think because social media has given people this sense that they have a right.
Yeah.
And you have a right to think and believe whatever you want to believe. But I think take a step back for a minute and say, okay, this is a grieving parent. And even the outpouring of support, I think, is great. But at the same time, like, leave them alone. Let them grieve for a minute. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know what? I guarantee that because it said, oh, the whatever monies are left over. So maybe there was a GoFundMe that was started to pay for.
Oh, and they maybe used
their
the
gravestone.
Name.
Yeah. And so then this is where the left money. So all I'm thinking is like there must be comments on there of like when they were putting up this GoFundMe and people started commenting that they're using the wrong names and now they have to put the statement out.
Oh, my God.
And like all you need is one person to like, hey, just so you know.
Right.
Like, this is the name that they wanted to use.
How about a private DM?
Yeah. You don't need 20 million people saying the same fucking thing. I don't know what's happened to us as human beings.
Social media.
How about you take that same energy and direct it to the school that failed to protect this child? How about you take it to the district attorney who has not charged these girls with manslaughter yet?
How about that? Should. How about that governor?
Yeah. How
about that disgusting governor who still says disparaging comments about the trans community after this child died?
Yeah. Take all that fucking energy.
Yeah,
no. Take all that fucking energy and put it towards those people.
That guy deserves to be thrown out of office.
Get people registered to vote and get that guy out of office.
Thrown out of office.
Take all your online fucking energy that you failed to take out to anywhere in activism and actually do something with it and leave these motherfucking people alone. Ugh, disgusting. Disgusting. Okay, well, here's a good thing. I don't know. You know, Alabama kind of did us a favor here in Florida because when we were talking last week about this fetal personhood thing, bullshit, this law, there was one moving through the legislature here in Florida, and then that thing happens in Alabama, and everybody's like, the fucking world blows up, and Republicans are like, no, we like IVF. Yeah. And the woman who had put this bill up pulled the bill. Yep. So hopefully in Florida, that will stay out of here, and we won't see it again before session's over. That would be nice. The other thing that happened in Florida is, we talked about it on the podcast a couple weeks ago, but there was HB1, which was to ban 15-year-olds and younger from being able to get on social media because of its addictive properties.
Yeah.
And Governor DeSantis said that he liked this bill, but he said the language needs to be fixed because it's unconstitutional.
It's shocking to me that he even because knows that word.
Because he just came off the campaign trail and everything they hit him with was all these bills that you're bragging about are now tied up in the courts and can't go into.
What a loser.
Because they're unconstitutional. Everything you're bragging about doesn't stand. And so it made its way to his desk this week because it passed the Senate and the House. But I read Gary Fineout, who's the Politico reporter for Florida, on his Twitter, said that it's on its way to the governor's office, but he heard that Governor DeSantis is going to veto it. Yeah. So let's hope that that happens. And also, what bothers me about shit like this is, what could we have been doing with that energy and time in the legislature instead of working on this?
Property insurance.
All those committees, all those people who testified, all those things that y'all were doing. It was unconstitutional.
It's a waste of time and money.
And the governor's not even going to sign it. And what have you been doing instead?
Yeah. The fiscal responsibility group likes to waste a lot of money.
So dumb. So dumb.
A couple things, but they're like Missouri, but they stood out to me because I feel like when we see things happening in other states, there's, you know, it's sure to follow in other Republican states. And this is something Anna Escamani posted about, and it is the Attorney General Andrew Bailey in Missouri, had posted, "Today I am filing suit against Planned Parenthood for trafficking minors out of state to obtain abortions without parental consent. This is the beginning of the end for Planned Parenthood in the state of Missouri." So this is what they want.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they want. It is these extremists that are trying to control our lives.
Yeah.
And I don't understand, again, in the United States of America, how someone can dictate whether or not I leave the state. And somebody leaves the state, and I think we talked about this before. Say somebody is pregnant, and they leave the state, and they miscarry.
Yeah.
Are they going to be accused of having an abortion? Oof. Are they going to be thrown in jail? Do they now have to prove miscarriage?
That part. That's what they do have to do that. Mean? Yeah.
Like, come on.
By the way, Missouri is the same state.
Oh, I have another thing from
created
there
the law that if you're pregnant and married, you can't get divorced while you're pregnant.
Yeah. That was the whole thing that came out this week.
Can I ask you, do these legislators really think men are all that?
Right.
You guys think men are that good?
I mean, they
tried. That great?
Yeah. They tried to claim that it is because, like, you have to work out, like, child custody and, like, this, that, and the other. You can still work that out.
Yeah. This is
and let the pregnant lady leave, especially a woman who might be in an abusive relationship.
That part.
Or, hey, how about she is just, you know, an autonomous being that can decide who and who she doesn't want to be with in life?
Right.
How about that?
Right.
What does she owe anybody?
Right.
Why does that guy have power over her? Because he can divorce whenever he wants, I'm sure.
Oh, of course.
The other thing that came out in Missouri was the candidate who is running for governor in Missouri, Darrell McClanahan, the third, said that he was only an honorary KKK member.
Oh my God.
But he made it clear.
Oh my God.
Honorary. He wasn't in the Klan. He was just an honorary member.
Oh my God.
And he wanted to make it clear that he's a pro white man who acknowledges going to a quote religious Christian identity cross lighting ceremony. It's fine. And
girl,
there's pictures of him
with
the
me.
Burning cross.
Girl, you are fucking with me.
Him.
Oh my God.
Yes. Running for the governor of Missouri.
Yo, what's happening out there? I thought we liked Missouri and Kansas City.
No, bye.
Travis Kelce.
That's off the list.
My Lord and Savior. What the fuck? We got to leave Missouri, motherfucker. Taylor Swift
out.
Can't be in Missouri.
No.
Get her out of here.
No. You got to find a different team.
Ugh.
He's got to go somewhere else.
I can't. This Missouri, I thought Florida was bad.
No.
Missouri's giving us a run
this
for our money.
This guy's here. Honorary. He's only honorary.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Well,
I'm just an honorary.
McClanahan? McClanahan 1 and 2 were definitely in the KKK. And the third one said, maybe we should distance ourselves from this a little bit. Just a little bit.
Oh, my God.
So Trump won South Carolina by 60%. It's fucking crazy. By the way, they do a Saturday primary. I'm all for that, Florida. Like, I'm all for a Saturday primary. Let's do it. Yeah. Get more people out to vote. But Haley is staying in the race. And I say, keep at it, girl.
She's holding on.
Keep at it. I'm here for it. Stay in as long as you can, because we got problems.
Girl.
Because yesterday, I saw this last night, it happened last night. I'm like trying to contain myself because I know this is very bad. And we talked about this when we talked about his cases, but SCOTUS has decided that they're going to hear that immunity case. Oh. This is the case regarding his criminal acts as president.
Shit.
Now, he says he has immunity because...
Are you fucking kidding me? I didn't hear this.
Decision that came out 2 weeks ago from the D.C. Circuit Court with that panel of judges there said that a president can be held accountable for crimes while in office that are outside of his duties as the president of the United States. They took so long to put that decision out, if you remember, because they were pulling quotes from justices sitting on the Supreme Court right now from previous cases that they've been on. They wanted to make this an airtight case so that there's no reason for them to have to pick that up. There was no reason for them to do it. They gave them this out of like, you don't have to participate in this. I thought they wouldn't take it. And they decided they're going to hear it.
Oh, shit.
And they're going to hear it April 22nd, which is pushing it. So we know now that their decision maybe won't come out until May or June.
Oh my God.
If they say he can be held accountable, that means the court case needs to start right away. But if it's June, maybe it starts in August. And it's like,
it's
now
late.
We're getting
it's too
close.
They're
going to
push it and push it as far as they can.
I got to tell you, this is a scary place and time to be in this country. Because it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you sit on. When you have a president, no matter what party they're in, who behaves in the way that Donald Trump did on January 6th, we need to protect this country. These prosecutors, those judges in the D.C. Circuit Court, they know that this was criminal behavior that was outside of his duties as president. This is a really scary time. He stacked that Supreme Court. They shouldn't touch this. And I'll tell you another reason why, because I said it a few weeks ago. He's our president, right? We deserve to see him sit in court for these crimes that he committed that day. Police officers died that day. He instigated a riot to turn over a free and fair election, which is the cornerstone of our democracy in this country. There's no defending this. This man needs to stand trial for these crimes, and we as Americans should be demanding that. The Supreme Court, half of which he appointed, who we know are corrupt on their own, are going to decide whether he stands trial. That is not okay. Mm. This is not an okay position for this country to be in. We should be demanding justice on this case. This is fucking bullshit. Go read the fucking answer from the D.C. Circuit Court. We are in a really scary time. This man cannot be reelected president. And he needs to be held accountable for these crimes. If it was Joe Biden, if it was Barack Obama, if it was Bill Clinton, who I've called out for his bullshit, I would want them to be held accountable. Period.
I know. I don't get it. This is fucked up.
It's really, really scary. I mean, what we got? What do we got? We got the Georgia case with Ding Dong up there. God knows what's going to happen with that. I mean, it's going to move forward, but that's the Georgia. That's corruption right there. We're talking about the payoff to cover up his affair with a porn star. That's going to go forward. That's going to be the first trial that starts. I mean, what are we doing here?
I know.
What kind of fucking place is this? What have we become?
And who wants this guy? You know what's funny is I was working with my youngest son. He has a paper thing to do on, he had to choose a president from the 20th century.
Mm.
And he picked Jimmy Carter. And we were, you know, going through reading all the different things.
He's like a saint, this guy.
Well, yeah. Well,
but the alien sighting.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. But, you know, we're going through and he's like, wow, he did so much stuff before he was president because he's, you know, in the Naval Academy and like nuclear submarines and a senator and a governor and, you know, all of this stuff. And I said, well, yeah, I said, you know, if you're going to move up to the office of the presidency, like you got to have some experience. I said, unless you're Donald Trump. Like, you look at Donald Trump, he has no business sitting in that seat. He had no business being there. He has no political, not 1 ounce of political experience. And he's in the highest office in the land? I think he's got to be the only president that has did absolutely nothing.
I mean, he did a lot of damage.
Well, yeah, but I'm but talking like, about like oh, to go get in. To
oh,
get
yeah,
in.
No, experience?
He had no experience.
He had a vendetta against Barack Obama. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, he was pissed off.
Yes.
Outrageous that like that the American people, any other job, you vet your candidates.
Let me tell you what I mean?
You want to be a CEO of a company. I can't go in and go, I want to be CEO of a company. I don't have the background. I don't have the experience. What do you think makes him able to have a seat?
I mean, that's
in
a perfect
fucking
example.
White House.
But you're a perfect. That's a perfect example of like he was the CEO of a company, of a company that just got proven
corrupt.
In court that he got found guilty of fucking corruption, fraud. So it's not even like, well, he's a rich businessman. Yeah. He's a fucking con man, dude.
A grifter.
And by the way, conned the entire country. He does deserve something for that.
Well,
he does deserve something.
Half of the country.
Enough. He convinced enough people.
Yeah, it's out. It's
I gotta tell
blows
you
blows my mind because I, even
also,
Reagan
aren't we,
even Reagan
yeah
you know where people are, oh he's an actor but he also was,
he was
a
the governor,
governor. Yeah. He all you know he worked
girl
he had political experience
girl it's bonkers it's bonkers
I can't even believe it's that freaking damn movie Idiocracy
yeah
right because it's some yahoo becomes the leader you know and they're the sprinklers are filled with Gatorade or whatever the hell they called it in the movie. You know what I mean? Everyone's yeah. stupid.
Yeah.
We are heading there. We are living it. We are living Idiocracy.
Yeah, well.
I'd rather actually be in Idiocracy than in the
Yeah, because isn't it Luke Wilson in that?
Yes.
He's so fucking
and
cute.
And he's so cute in it.
Oh, my God.
And, I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't like this.
Yeah, this is trouble.
This is bad.
It's big trouble.
It's a trouble capital
yes.
T.
Yeah, so I was watching Anna Eskamani, Representative Anna Eskamani in the Florida House. She's in the Orlando area. She's so fucking great. If you
oh
follow her
God,
on like Instagram
amazing.
Or Facebook, but she does these Instagram lives like a couple times a week, especially on like a Friday. Anyway, she did one yesterday and it was like, we just got this, you know, basically an agenda of what's going to be on the floor tomorrow. Today was like 90 bills on the floor they were having to discuss and vote on. And one of them, which was so crazy to me, she said it was the Florida Department of Transportation. They can't ask for federal dollars for projects. This is the law. If it has something included in there about carbon emissions. So like,
what is wrong with the state?
Like,
what is wrong with the state? Like, I mean, you're in bed with oil.
Yeah.
We have all of the, we are the sunshine state. I've screamed about it on here before. Throw a bunch of solar panels, and we can make so much goddamn money. We can generate the whole fucking country or the
girl.
East fucking coast. What is wrong with you?
If
you want to look at dollar signs, like invest in solar.
If those dollars have anything to do with
oh
carbon
my
emissions
God.
Or like tied to some sort of environmental
Get
thing,
the hell out
the
of
Florida
here.
Department of Transportation can't apply for it. That's the one of the laws they were going to discuss. Like, by the way,
my
who
God.
Gives a fuck? Also, but like, who fucking cares? And you, like, by the way, did anybody, any of these yahoos who created this, wrote this dumb fucking bill, did they actually go to the Florida Department of Transportation and say, is this going to hurt you from getting federal dollars? Because people are going to complain about the roads.
Yeah.
They're going to complain about the lights and they're going to call their representative and say, how come this fucking road is still not finished yet? Well, we don't have any federal dollars. Why not? Because I created a bill that they couldn't take it if there was carbon emissions attached to it or like, you know.
Oh,
you know
my
what?
God. What about the other bill they passed about like passing that you only can use like
right
on the highway that you only can use like the far
yeah.
Left lane to pass?
Yeah.
That's going to. Can you imagine the chaos? 95 is already. They already called I-95. I can't even imagine.
Let me tell you
what's going to happen with people zipping in and out trying to cross in that lane.
Let me tell you something right fucking now.
I can't.
The way that they fucked these roads up over here
because
on 95.
Because they privatized
yes,
that stupid goddamn
because they
lane.
Barricaded two lanes to the sides. You can get
and
in there
privatized
and like
it.
Speed lanes. But you have,
money.
Have, you have to have the sun pass, the yeah. toll pass thing in your
so
car
only
to
money,
do it.
Only people with money can do it.
It doesn't matter what time of the day that I drive from Atlantic Boulevard to Oakland Park Boulevard, which is
home to work, right? Doesn't matter. Whenever I'm approaching Cypress, it is backed up at 7 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning, 12 noon, 12:30. It doesn't matter because that's when people start coming. Yeah. You know, the things,
it bottlenecks.
People are trying to merge back into the regular lanes. Why would you do this?
I don't understand it. I'm like, I don't get it. Why would you why would you not let anyone in that lane? That's the lane that people need to go unless they're trying to force people into that SunPass
again
lane.
Did they go to Florida Highway Patrol and say, do you think this is going to be an issue?
Oh, you know, Florida
do
Highway
they check
Patrol
anything?
Is like, this is bad.
Well, the Florida Highway Patrol's too busy because they've been spotted at the Mexican border. Did you see that this week? All these photos of Florida Highway Patrol vehicles
kidding me?
In Mexico on the Mexican-Texas border. Because DeSantis sent them over there because, you know, we don't need cops here. It's not like we have an open border. 3/4 of this motherfucking state.
Oh, my God.
Is open border. Bitch. What do you think? Aquaman's coming up out of the ocean? Who do you think's coming out of the ocean? You fucking dummies.
Oh my God.
All right. Last thing. Oh God. I hate to discuss this on my birthday.
Uh-oh. Oh God. I feel so bad. I cry.
I look at Tina.
Listen, I cry. I feel so bad.
Don't feel bad.
I'm telling you, I need to tell you this, that.
Oh God.
I have something I've been like literally working on for weeks.
She has
you.
Oh, she always gives me the best gifts. I'm not worried about that. It was just funny. I wanted to like make you laugh.
I know, but I'm gonna cry.
No, don't cry. Oh my God.
I'm gonna go all home right. and cry later too. No,
you
it.
Are. I'll give you something to cry about.
What?
Fucking Richard Lewis, bitch.
Oh,
I had just the night before watched the new Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I haven't watched it yet.
Where they talk about, it's not spoiler, whatever.
Yeah.
He says to Larry David, I just put you in my will. Like they
well,
talk about
they
him
did
dying.
They did that the week before.
Oh, maybe that's the one I watched the week before. Fucked up.
I know. And he was like, stop it.
So I guess he had been diagnosed with Parkinson's, but he died from a heart attack. It was released today. Yeah, he had a heart attack. Because I didn't think he was at a dire position.
No,
that's why it was kind of shocking that he passed away.
Of a heart attack?
Yeah.
How old was he again?
76.
To me, that's his age.
Yeah. That's the first thing my mother said to me. She called me, oh my God, did you see Richard Lewis die? I see that. She goes, we're the same age. I was like, oh,
yeah, I mean.
Bro, it's so sad.
It's very sad. That made me sad. And then I saw this clip of Jon Stewart.
Oh,
his dog, a Dipper.
Yes, yeah.
I cried this morning watching it because he's like talking about it and he's like gets choked up. I'm going to cry. Because he's like, everybody deserves a Dipper in their life. And I'm like, oh my God, my dog is my Dipper. Aww. Oh,
Tina's
and I was
crying.
Like, crying.
She's crying about her dog.
I love my dog so much. And he's so goddamn sweet.
He's a cute baby.
He's no problem. Okay. Please, there's no problem with this dog.
Pull that curtain back a little bit. Pull the curtain back.
There's no problem with this dog. He is sweet. Listen. He is the cuddliest, most adorable little thing
Teddy
you could ever imagine.
Teddy.
Oh, my Teddy baby. you don't even understand.
You should see her with this dog. The dog's literally just walking. She's like, look at how cute he is. I'm like, yeah, he's really cute. Yeah. But he's like, he makes a face. Oh, my God. He's
I come
cute.
Home every day from work and I just.
Dogs are the best.
My husband's just like, you got to open the door. You got to let him out. But when my husband comes home, he'll go straight to the door. But when I come home, he looks at me because he knows I'm going to run over and like lay with him. And so like I lay and I cuddle and I'll be
very
hugging
cute.
Him. And my husband walks in and I'm like, oh, no, I'm letting him out right now. But I just have to love him.
Yeah. Dogs are good that way. I love the cats because they're very self-sufficient, right?
Yeah. But because then it's hard when you go away.
Yeah.
You know, to
oh my God.
Find somebody to take care of the dog.
Well, let it be known I've offered.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Today I mean, I was like, just give me the dog.
It's nice
just,
to I'll have people offer to help.
Woo. It's getting hot in here.
Sorry. Not sorry again.
All right. Are you ready for this bonkers ridiculousness that I'm bringing you today?
Because Let's do it.
All right. Today I'm going to tell you about the time the FBI investigated the song Louie Louie Oh, baby.
What?
We gotta go. There's a whole FBI investigation.
Yeah.
What?
Yes. Can you believe this? A girl. Why? I don't know. I saw this on NPR and I was like.
Isn't that like a beachy surf song?
That version is. Yeah. But we're going to talk about the history of the song. I can play you some clips. It's a music episode. Oh! It's a music episode.
That's a okay. perfect episode for you.
That's right.
Now I'm going to cry again.
Oh, Tina. Let's just call this Tina's crying.
Yes.
Hold on. Let me write that down. Yes. I also wrote down crispy bacon. I don't know what. I don't know when we said that. Tina's crying. Okay.
I am crying.
So the quote, extraordinary roller coaster tale of obscurity, scandal, success, and immortality, and remarkable historical impact of Louie Louie have been recognized by organizations and publications worldwide for its influence on the history of rock and roll.
Wow.
There's a lot going on here, everybody. A lot going on her. Okay. Major examples of the song's legacy include the celebration of International Louie Louie Day every year on April 11th.
What?
The annual Louie Louie Parade in Philadelphia went on from 1985 to 1989.
What?
The Louie Fest in Tacoma from 2003 to 2012. And the ongoing annual Louie Louie Street Party in Peoria. What's that, Illinois, right?
Yeah.
And the unsuccessful attempt in 1985 to make it the state song of Washington.
Okay, now I know this song.
Yeah.
You know, it's in movies. I mean, it was on the oldie station all the time. Like, it's a great little song.
So good,
it's a fun song.
So fun.
I would never in a million years, if you would have said to me, what song has parades and events? And never in a million years would that song be the song that would pop into my mind.
Right.
I would think of some song about, like, you know, American Pie or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Something.
There's a literal Louie Louie Appreciation Society. They're called themselves Llamas.
The Louie Llamas?
Like what? LLA. Like, yeah. Louie Louie Appreciation, something like that.
Why?
Well, but why? Come on, let's get into it. Let's get into it. So, rock critic, we'll talk a little bit about the song and then we'll get into the different versions. Rock critic Greil Marcus called it, quote, a law of nature. And New York Times music critic John Perelis, writing in a 1997 obituary for Richard Berry, who wrote the song, termed it a, quote, cornerstone of rock. Music historian Peter Blecka noted, he said, quote, far from shuffling off to a quiet retirement, evidence indicates that Louie Louie may actually prove to be immortal, end quote.
Oh, that gave me chills.
Yeah. Other writers described it as musically simple, lyrically simple, and joyously infectious, deliciously moronic, a completely unforgettable earworm, the essence of rock's primal energy, and the immortal international hit that defines rock and roll. Crazy. Others noted that it served as a bridge to the R&B of the past and the rap scene of the future, that it came to symbolize the garage rock genre where the typical performance was often aggressive and usually amateurish, and that all you need to make a great rock and roll record are the chords to Louie Louie and a bad attitude.
Ooh.
Music historian and filmmaker Eric Priedel of the Louie Report described the song as, quote, purity. It's just a very pure, honest rock and roll song. It's a song of romantic ideals, hidden amongst a three-chord melody. It's an idealistic song. It's a misunderstood song. It's a confusing and disorienting song. It's like a heartbeat, end quote.
Wow.
Yeah. American songwriter summarized, quote, it might be the best-known rock song of all time. It might be the most important rock song of all time, end quote.
This is wild.
Right. So Richard Berry was inspired to write the song in 1955 after listening to an R&B interpretation of El Loco Cha-Cha performed by the Latin group Ricky Rillara and the Rhythm Rockers. The tune was written originally as Amarin al Loco, Tie Up the Madman, or like it translates to Tie Up the Madman or Tie Up That Lunatic, by Cuban bandleader Rosenda Ruiz Jr., but became best known as El Loco Cha-Cha arrangement by Rene Tuzet, which included three great chords, solid and true, and a 10-note 1-2-3, 1-2-1, 2-3-1-2 rhythmic pattern. Okay.
So here's my question, because my son does this a lot with songs. Like, he listens to a song and he's like, oh, this is in this song.
Yeah.
Do people say that he stole this song? Like, he stole that chord progression?
No.
Or did he acknowledge that he, you know what I mean?
I think he was inspired by that,
but it's not the exact.
No.
Okay. So it's not like a what's the most common, like the Bittersweet Symphony, like where it's like you totally ripped off the Rolling Stones.
No,
not like that. It's like inspired by.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just the rhythm, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the original version. I'm just going to play a little clip. We won't get cut on anybody because we're going to play less than 30 seconds. But
notice the difference of the original, which I think I might have heard like 20 years ago, but I haven't heard it recently. And you might not even recognize it as the Louie Louie that we know. But this is the one that is the original version. So good.
Wait, so that's his original.
That he wrote. That's the original song. That's how it originally came out in 1955. And
you said he was inspired by...
Oh, no, I don't have that other song.
Okay.
No, no, no.
Okay.
Okay. So Louie Louie is the world's most recorded rock song, with published estimates ranging from over 1,600 to more than 2,000 versions, with more still being released and performed. So... everybody you could imagine, I mean, like Motorhead, like there's so many people who have covered, bands who have covered this song. I've got two clips because they're kind of like where I thought this is a good range. Pat Benatar covered it. I'm going to play 15.
Wait, do I know? Let me hear
this
it.
This is really, it's very Pat
if
Benatar.
I remember.
Right.
It's very Pat Benatar.
Yeah, you hear her vocals too. Okay.
I've heard this now that I hear it. Yeah.
Okay. And the next one that I pulled is by Toots and the Maytals.
Oh, one I of love my Toots and the Maytals.
Girl, he passed away a couple years ago. Like,
yeah.
Love. If you don't know Toots and the Maytals, go.
Pressure drop. Oh, pressure gonna drop on you.
You know, I saw him at Culture Room. Girl, it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. Amazing. He's incredible. Go check him out. Great life story, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, they covered it, and here's their version.
Oh, yeah, listen. Yes, let's go. You know what's so amazing about both of those? They take this song.
Yes.
But they make it.
Yes.
Their own. And it's the same. You know all the words. You know the beat. You know the feel.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, it's so Pat Benatar. Oh, yes. It's so Toots. It's like you get
and I
that.
Think that's the magic of that song.
Yeah.
It's because it's so simple. You can really.
You can play with it a little
anybody,
bit. Anybody.
Yeah.
Keep,
can make
like,
it their
the
own
heart
thing.
Of it.
Yeah.
So cool.
Right. So.
Because it is that three chord. So it's easy to
easier.
Like kind of play around.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's been released or performed by a wide range of artists, from reggae to hard rock, from jazz to psychedelic, from hip hop to easy listening. The Kingsmen version in particular has been cited as the Rosetta Stone of garage rock, the defining of punk rock, and the original grunge classic. So this is the version
that we know.
That we know. And it was released in 1963.
They call this a grunge classic?
That's what they say. Which is the one that all the controversy came from.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Okay. Oh, come on. So fucking good. The influential rock critics Dave Marsh and Greil Marcus believe that virtually all punk rock can be traced back to the single proto-punk song Louie Louie by the Kingsmen.
Wow.
Incredible. I mean, this is like music history 101,
yes,
baby.
I love that.
Punk rock music theory I'm bringing you today,
Tina. Yeah, and like looking at those moments in history where that little shift happens.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. So when the Kingsmen cover version of Louie Louie began to climb the national charts in late 1963, the lead singer Jack Ely's slurry snarl and mush mouth and gloriously garbled, infamously incomprehensible, legendarily manic punk squawk vocals gave rise to rumors about dirty lyrics.
Oh, come on.
Okay, because it's very hard. If you listen to that song, it's very difficult to... you know, get to
like what the words
what the
are.
Fuck is he saying?
Yeah.
But when you go and listen to the original version, you know, so here's the actual lyrics. Louie got me gotta go, right? 3 nights and days we sailed the sea. You know, I got my old eyes, hold on. Me think of girl constantly on the ship. I dream she there. I smell the rose in her hair. Louie, me gotta go. Me see Jamaica moon above. It won't be long. Me see my love. Me take her in my arms and then I tell her I never leave again. Louie, blah, blah. So it's like a love song about this girl. This guy's on a boat.
What is questionable?
Okay, so we'll get to it. I'll read the version of the filthy ones in a minute. But so that's what he's saying and nobody could understand it. The Kingsmen initially ignored the rumors, but soon, quote, news networks from were filing reports from New Orleans, Florida, Michigan, and elsewhere about an American public nearly hysterical over the possible dangers of this record, end quote.
You got to be kidding.
By the way, 1965, aren't we in Vietnam?
We're kind of like at the beginning.
I mean, don't we have other things to worry about?
But I'm thinking too, this is where everything about indecency, right? Because remember, like, think about Jim Morrison getting in trouble on the Ed Sullivan show because they don't want him to say, like, even like, baby, you can't get much higher, right? The Mamas and the Papas, like, they were like, you can't say this word, you know?
Yeah.
So there's all of this push. Because we're coming out of the 50s.
Yeah.
We're heading into the sexual revolution. Yeah. Right? And all that stuff is happening.
Right.
And, like, now look at today where they're trying to push back on all of these liberties. It's wild.
It's crazy.
It's wild.
Yeah. So the song quickly became something of a Rorschach test for dirty minds who thought they could detect obscene suggestions in the lyrics.
I can't wait to hear some of these.
In January 1964, Indiana Governor Matthew E. Welsh, acting on multiple complaint letters, determined the lyrics to be pornographic because his ears tingled when he listened to the record. Now, honey, I don't know where your ears are located, but if your dick isn't tingling, a tingle, 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 then we're all good. Like,
what?
What are you talking about?
Even me.
By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but or you heard this, but baby boy Mike Johnson said today that God talks to him. So just want to throw that out. I just want y'all to know that.
Yeah.
It's
no,
funny
he doesn't.
Where's God? Hello, dear God.
Why? First of all,
me,
why
Hillary.
Are you? Yeah. Well,
how about some inspiration?
First of all, if there were a God, why out of every being on this planet would she choose to speak to a peon, gross, I don't even have a word for this guy, like Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
Why? Regular people don't want to talk to you, let alone a divine being. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're creepy.
And there's billions of people on the planet.
Yeah.
This is like, what is he, Mormon? It sounds like a Mormon thing.
No, he's not
Mormon.
You
have like, I know, but you know how Mormons are like, I have a direct connection to God. Like,
yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
That, you know
good
what
try,
that means?
Though. Good
if
try.
God is talking to you, if God is talking to you, maybe your wife needs to like Baker Act you and you got to go talk to somebody because you shouldn't be hearing that in your head.
Yeah, by the way.
That's dangerous.
Why isn't that the norm? If anybody on the street said God just spoke to me, they would be locked up.
Right.
Why is this guy the speaker, third in line for the presidency? God forbid.
Oh my, can you imagine?
And he's talking to God.
Yeah. No.
Is God
you
the
can
one?
Talk to God all you want, but once God starts talking back, there's a problem.
Is God your new person who checks if you looked at porn? Because your son's got that job, but maybe God should have that job.
Wow.
By the way, if you need someone to check if you're watching porn, you are watching too much porn. Something was wrong.
That's weird. And why, first of all, why is the onus put on your son?
Because I'm telling you something fucking
there's
weird.
Weird.
Baby boy face. No.
There's
no.
Something weird
no, no,
happening.
No.
Ooh, those glasses.
By the way, I'd love to see that search history on the porn. What is the search history? Spanking.
I mean, maybe.
Like mommy spanking, you know, mommy spanking boys.
Well, maybe it's like people like.
Not boys, but you know what I mean? 18-year-olds.
No, maybe it's people, maybe it's nuns or like.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
something really.
Nuns or.
Come on.
Some,
it's crazy.
You know. Someone dressed up like the Virgin Mary.
Yeah, there's something definitely fucked happening
something
here.
Something weird.
But all right, great. Good. I feel really comforted. I can sleep at night. No, you speak at our house and talks to God. That's wonderful. Okay, so this governor referred the matter to the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, and also requested that the Indiana Broadcasters Association advise their member stations to pull the record from their playlists. An initial FCC investigation found the song unintelligible at any speed. They can't figure out what the fuck the guy's saying, right? The National Association of Broadcasters also investigated and deemed it, quote, unintelligible to the average listener, but that the phonetic qualities of this recording are such that a listener possessing the phony lyrics could imagine them to be genuine. Okay, so there was rumors of what it was, so if you're listening like this, you're like, oh yeah, it does say fuck.
But that's like when they're like, okay, listen to this. If you hear this, yeah, or you hear this.
Paul is dead kind of bullshit.
This is the stupidest thing
also
I have ever heard of in my life.
Also, I know you're going to know this reference, but it's also like Three Men and a Baby. Girl. Or
there's a ghost in the window.
Or Wizard of Oz with the midget.
Munchkin. Yeah.
Oh, Munchkin. Mm-hmm. I'm not supposed to say midget, but I said it twice. neither the FCC.
It's your birthday. You're allowed.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. Don't send me a letter of being woke some bullshit. Neither the FCC nor the NAB took any further action. They're like, we don't know and we have better things to do. Fuck off.
This is insane. Like, just because somebody gives somebody the suggestion of what might be in a lyric and someone might think that they hear it in a lyric, that's not a reason to pull a record. It means like they're misinterpreting the lyric. I mean, how many times do people misinterpret lyrics? It's a joke where it's like, oh my God, until today, I didn't know that the lyric was blah, blah, blah.
You go to karaoke and you're like, wait, what the fuck? I didn't know it said that.
I mean, that's just what it is. Yeah. This is...
Girl... Please. So in response, Max Furtag, a publisher, Limax Music, offered $1,000 to, quote, anyone finding anything suggestive in the lyrics, end quote. And Broadcasting Magazine published the actual lyrics as provided by Limax. Skeptor Wand Records commented, quote, not in anyone's wildest imagination are the lyrics as presented on the Wand recording suggestive, let alone obscene, end quote.
Did people like send in, here's what I think the lyrics
yes,
are?
Yes, of course.
Oh, I can't wait. Do you have some of those?
I have one of them. Producer Jerry Denon thanked the governor saying, quote, we really owe Governor Welch a lot. The record was already going great, but since he stepped in to give us a publicity boost, it's hard to keep up with the orders, end quote.
Oh, good for you. Make that money off of their... idiocy. Yeah.
Put my kids to school on this fucking record.
Yeah, you're set for life now with that song. Yeah. Wow.
Billboard noted, quote, it also seems likely that some shrewd press agentry may also be playing an important role in the teapot tempest, end quote. So, like, they're not correcting any of this. Like, the band's like, they don't answer questions about it because they're like, yeah, keep it going. We're not going to fucking get involved. You want to think it's filthy? Then think it's filthy. Also, just keep buying it. Like, they didn't fucking care about correcting it at all, you know? The following month, an outraged parent wrote to Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy alleging that the lyrics of Louie Louie were obscene, saying, quote, the lyrics are so filthy that I cannot enclose them in this letter, end quote. I just can't believe the time people have on their hands that this is what happened. Like, what
There's
happens
like
is so crazy.
The civil rights movement is happening.
Yeah. And this woman's like, writing to the Attorney General of the United States of America. Girl, this Karen, Karens have always existed since the dawn of time. There was somebody in a cave going, I know a better way to do that. Like, there was something
or someone that's like, this cave drawing is inappropriate.
Why is your bear skin not down below your knees? I can see your cooch. Could you imagine cave women saying gooch? I want a cave woman saying cooch somewhere. Okay, so of course, so she sends this Attorney General. Then... the Federal Bureau of Investigation investigates the complaint and looked into the various rumors of real lyrics that were circulating among teenagers.
Oh, come on.
These dumb fuckers.
They're teenagers.
I know. I can you please? And also, I'd like to say I admire the gusto of these teenagers because this isn't social media time. This is rumors going from school to school across the country.
Yeah, how fun is
of
that?
Like writing to your friends and saying, what do you think this is? Yeah. I mean, this was like... this was old school rumors, right? Okay, so here, I found this one. I don't know. Okay. Louie Louie, oh no, get her way down low.
Oh, I mean, that's not even...
A fine little girl awaiting for me. She's just a girl across the way. Well, I'll take her and park all alone. She's never a girl I'd lay at home. At night at 10, I lay her again. Fuck you, girl. Oh, all the way. Oh, my bed, and I lay her there. I meet a rose in her hair. So that line still
okay,
stays
first of all, like, we'll go park. So that's definitely, like,
it's
from
kids,
the time period.
It's a kid,
like,
teenager.
You know, give me a break. You're going to believe some teeny boppers?
There's one more verse. She's got a rag on her. Wait, she's got a rag on. I'll move above. It won't be long. She'll slip it off. I'll take her in my arms again. I'll tell her I'll never leave her again. Get that broad out of here is the last line.
This makes
the dumbest shit I've ever fucking heard. Yeah,
it's clear that a teenager was involved in all of this.
By the way, why does she gotta be on the rag though? Why she gotta be on the rag? Is that what that means? She's
no.
on the rag?
Oh no, I didn't take it like that.
Really? How'd you take it?
I thought that meant
she's on her period.
No. Let me look at it.
I love how we look at papers. We're holding them way out because we can't see shit. Oh my God. Tina's not putting her glasses on this podcast.
No.
You're not going to see her glasses.
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely fucking not. You're not going to see her glasses.
No. You can see my teary stained eyes today.
Oh my God.
I'm crying. I'm crying. Tina. So,
you're crying because it's so poorly written.
No, it's upsetting. I feel like it's.
Would your students ever write anything so terrible?
They're teenagers.
Also, like, who cares? Let them read dirty lyrics. What, you know what it was? Boys were growing their hair long. Yeah. Everybody's fucking high.
I thought that a rag was like a dress or.
Oh, maybe. Okay, that makes sense. She'll slip it off. Yeah, that makes sense. It won't be long. She'll slip it off. That's got to be what that means. Okay, so in June 1965, the FBI laboratory obtained a copy of the Kingsman recording, and after 31 months of investigation, concluded.
That's almost 3 years.
It's crazy. By the way, good for you.
How much money?
If you're that FBI agent, you're like,
this is girl, my job.
Listen to this case I just got. Yeah. I got to look at this song. I got to go. You know what we should do, though? We got to go see them live.
Yeah.
We got to go a couple different places and go see their concert.
Yeah, we're going to travel the country.
Yeah, we got to go. We got to check it out. We got to see what these kids are about. So these FBI agents were having a good time, basically. They were dragging that out, and they were having a good time for 31 months. Concluded that it could not be interpreted, and therefore the Bureau could not find that the recording was obscene.
It took them 31
months. By the way, all you have to do is ask Richard Berry, what are the lyrics?
I mean, imagine.
Like, just ask him what the words are.
They have a team of people that are getting an annual salary and a pension, going into a pension and benefits, to look at song lyrics.
They were having a good time. Over the course of the investigation, the FBI interviewed Richard Berry, members of the Kingsmen, members of Paul Revere and the Raiders, so it's another band that covered it, and record company executives. The one person they never interviewed was the man who actually sang the words in question, Jack Eli, whose name apparently never came up because he was no longer with the Kingsmen. So he was no longer the singer, which must have sounded differently, but like...
This is the stupidest
thing. He didn't
write
the fucking song.
That I've ever heard in my life.
I know. It's so great. I love seeing taxpayer dollars thrown to the wind. By contrast, in 1964, the Ohio State University student newspaper, The Lantern, initiated an investigation in response to a growing campus controversy. Working with local radio station WCOL, a letter was sent to the Wand Records requesting a copy of the lyrics. These are college students that are doing this better than you are, bro. The paper printed the lyrics in full, resolving the issue and resulting in booking the Kingsmen for their fall homecoming entertainment.
Wow. Can you imagine how cool that must have been?
Come on.
Man.
The FBI was like in the bushes going, what the fuck's going on in there? What's happening?
What are these college kids up to?
In a 1964 interview, Lynn Eason of the Kingsmen said, quote, we took the words from the original version and recorded them faithfully, end quote. And group member Barry Curtis later added, quote, Richard Berry never wrote dirty lyrics. You listen and you hear it, and you hear what you want to hear, end quote. Richard Berry told Esquire in 1988 that the Kingsmen had sung the song exactly as written and often deflected questions about the lyrics by saying, quote, if I told you the words, you wouldn't believe me anyway, end quote. He must have been tired of asking the answer to these questions. In 1992, music journalist Dave Walsh wrote the book Louie Louie, The History and Mythology of the World's Most Famous Rock and Roll Song.
This is wild.
Including the full details of its torture and persecution at the hands of the Kingsmen, J. Edgar Hoover's FBI, and a cast of millions, and introducing for the first time anywhere the actual dirty lyrics.
J. Edgar Hoover wasted, he had all of these weird little side stupid things happening.
Oh my God. He interviewed for the book, he interviewed Governor Walsh in 1991, and Walsh, quote, empathetically denied being a censor, end quote, claiming he never banned the record and only suggested that it not be played. Marsh disagreed, saying, quote, if a record isn't played at the suggestion of the state's chief executive, isn't it banned? End quote.
And wait, weren't your ears tingling?
Yeah.
Every time I think of Hoover,
weird is that?
I just think of Clue. J. Edgar Hoover. On my 20 calls. That's so funny.
Oh my God.
I wish that would come in the theater. Yeah. I would go.
Would you go see that?
Oh my God. Yeah, but yeah. There's a whole like a group of people, like every year they play it in certain across the country.
We have to go see it. We have to go see
but
it.
But I don't think they do it here.
My God, it's such a fucking great movie.
So my kids love it.
My God. When they start fucking up the end and like running from place to place.
Oh my God. Just everything.
Tim
I love
Curry. Madeline Kahn.
Oh my God.
The flames.
Yeah.
The flames.
On the side of my face. It's burning.
God.
I love all of them. I love all of them.
I know.
I mean, Christopher Lloyd's in that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so good. Like all of it. It's just so brilliant. It's so campy. It's
God. It's the greatest.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies, really.
Yeah. Okay, so Marsh noted that the lyrics controversy, quote, reflected the country's infantile sexuality, end quote, and quote, ensured the song's eternal perpetuation. He also included multiple versions of the supposed dirty lyrics. Other authors noted that the song, quote, reaped the benefits that accrue from being pursued by the guardians of public morals, end quote. And, quote, such stupidity helped ensure Louie Louie a long and prosperous life.
I mean, as soon as you say, like, something is bad,
yeah,
everybody wants it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, remember when the Madonna sex book came out?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was like, they didn't want to sell. It was this whole thing.
Yeah.
And that book got passed around. I remember yeah. like, I was like, oh, I had it. And then I gave it to someone.
God,
like,
I wonder, how much do you think that would be now if someone tried to sell their sex book?
I don't know. Can you still buy it?
It's got to be on eBay.
It's got to be somewhere.
Come on,
but,
let me see.
I mean, and the thing that was so cool about that book is, I think that was like one of the first times that you saw that it wasn't just, you know, seeing like heteronormative relationships. It was like just, I don't know.
No, they're selling it on Amazon. Somebody is for $739.
Holy shit.
I bet it goes more
God
for more than
that. Damn it. I should have kept it and not passed it on, but we all passed it on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I remember sitting at a table and someone brought it.
Yeah.
And it was like a round table
God.
Opening it up. And it was just like, wow.
Yeah. Oh my God. Madonna.
You know?
Yeah.
It was so cool.
Last thing, the lyrics controversy resurfaced briefly in 2005.
What?
When the superintendent of the school system in Benton Harbor, Michigan, refused to let a marching band play the song in a local parade. She later relented.
How did she know? Like, was she old?
I don't know, but don't you feel like...
In 2000...
I always hear Louie Louie with marching bands.
Well, first of all, it's a marching band, yeah. So there's no lyrics. So what... I don't understand.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand. Ugh. She has to be someone old that remembered the controversy.
Oh, yeah, it has to be. Because this is 65, so.
And you're 2005. Like, she's the lady that
years?
She's the lady that wrote the letter to the Attorney General.
Oh, yeah, 40 years.
She's some old lady that's like, we can't let the kids hear that.
By the way, 2005,
like that's something
there's
that
nothing
you hear
worse.
At, like, games and stadiums,
of course.
Right? Like, you hear that everywhere. It's so good. It's just fun. And you know, anything that's fun, they just want to destroy.
Yeah, we can't have fun.
We can't have fun.
You can't have fun.
No. Fun is banned.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
You know, once Mike Johnson started talking to God.
Yeah, that's
it's
it. It's over.
Over.
America's done. Okay?
Oh, God.
I mean, I don't know if I was the FBI agent and I got this job, I'd be so excited about it. But like, The stupid shit they must have had to investigate, probably even still today, like the dumbest shit.
And also imagine like the paperwork.
Yeah.
You know, they got to fill out paperwork. Here's the lyrics. We didn't find anything. We went to this state. We went to that state. We talked to some teenagers. Like, how do you even investigate that?
Or like slow down.
Yeah.
Slow it
there's
down.
Somebody with the technology stretching it out. It's so dumb. And it took them 31 months.
Girl.
They were like, I'm going to collect a paycheck. I'm going to make this
last.
Yeah,
that's what I would do. I would say, we've got to go see this band play at every venue and see what's happening. You know, they're getting high in the back of the kids.
Yeah.
Like, this is a complete debauchery, what was happening in this investigation.
Wild.
I know. So
what
I just
else?
Watched
what
a documentary on Netflix. It's called Orgasm Inc., The Story of One Taste. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Girl, I got to tell you, it's not like how a documentary they do on Netflix where it's like three episodes.
Yeah.
It was one movie and it's cultish. It's cult, sex cult kind of thing.
Oh.
But people go in there for like wanting to learn about how to have the best female orgasm and whatever, all this stuff. And
was it like the tantric? No.
This woman who was running it is, of course, fucking insane. And they do workshops where, like, I don't know how to describe this, because it was so fucking weird that I was just like, why are you going along with this? Like, you would lay there in this, like, naked, waist down naked, and a stranger would be rubbing your business to give you an orgasm. And she was showing them, like, how to do this for 15 minutes. And all these men would come to the class to learn how to give women this orgasm. And then women can also, they want to learn too about, like, the best way. So basically in this class, you got people jerking women off.
But just random strangers. Ew.
It was so bizarre. But the woman ended up being like, just, I'm sorry, but I think there's some sort of like mental illness. Like, she was talking about how, I've overcome all this stuff. I was an escort. I was a stripper. My father was a child molester and like used her as bait to like get girls and then ended up going to jail. In one video in the thing, she's talking to this crowd and she's like, my dad's in jail. He's been in jail. He'll be in jail for 50 years because in my opinion, he couldn't stay in the orbit of where he's supposed to be, but others would say he committed crimes. And I'm like,
so she's delusional.
She's mental. And then she was talking about sexual violence and how she's like, I've been raped, but I'm not a victim. I refuse to be called a victim. And she goes, I think we should have a new shirt that says, I was raped and all I got was this shirt. or we should have a shirt that says, I raped someone and all I got was this t-shirt. Like, and I'm like, how are people not standing, like, so up?
Dismissive.
And how she, and then eventually got to the point where it was like, men who are violent are trying to get their beast out and you should allow them to do that so they can come back down to the level where you're at. And I'm like, what? And so people are describing these violent relationships.
This is dangerous.
And I don't know how we get to this point of like, how are we finding ourselves in these vulnerable positions when you're already so vulnerable?
And then why are you seeking this person out?
Oh my God, Tina. Oh, it was, I don't so know if I could watch that. No. It's so fucked up. Like, is there any place that's good that gives you, like, oh, I know how it became popular. It was called orgasm yoga, like yoga orgasm. So, like, you go to do yoga, but also at the end, there's someone's going to start rubbing your vagina. Also, they didn't say vagina. They would say the P word. And it was disarming. Like, when they, yeah. I was like, I mean, I'm not anti, but also, like, there's a time and a place, honey. Yeah. And it's not like, how's your pussy? No, that's not how we should be talking right now. That's like, we're intimate, right? Like, we're not yelling that out in the middle of a crowd.
No, that's just, I don't know. No.
It was all violence. No. It was all violence.
No.
What's happening out there? No. Is everybody okay?
No.
Are you guys okay?
The kids are not all right.
Damn.
The kids are not all right.
And by the way, if you're in a place where the guys are coming there because they're awkward and don't know how to go on dates and don't know how to have sex with, like, they don't know, you're not supposed to be a guinea pig for that. Like, if you want to go and learn how to have an orgasm on your own, maybe that's a class. But you don't have to have somebody else doing that to you. Right? Yeah, no, it's so bizarre. It took the documentary a step too far for me.
No, I don't like it.
I don't like it either. It's too much.
Yeah. Nope.
By the way, they still exist. They're still out there. They haven't been shut down. This is where the FBI should be.
Yes.
Get away from Louie and go figure out what this crazy nut's up to.
Yes. I've been watching still the Capote and the Swans.
Oh, yeah. So how's that going?
It's really good. Ugh. It's really good.
Who's the best on there?
I mean, the guy that plays... Capote is, he's really, really good.
So is Capote, but, like, not sorry about exposing them, which is kind of the premise of the whole thing?
No. He's shunned by, I'm at the part where they have shunned him.
Does he understand what happened? Like, does he know that he should not have done that? Or
The way that the show portrays it is that he is sort of in this block. And there's an expectation because he's been given money to have to produce something. And this is what he chooses to produce. And I don't know if it's like he couldn't think of anything else or the story he was working on didn't work. And this person in his life is like, you know, all this stuff. And he just puts it out there. And then, you know, Babe, like his main like friend, like for years, the fact that he just betrayed all of her secrets. And even though he doesn't name them, like, everybody knows
right,
it's her.
Right.
And what happened with her husband. And, you know, I mean, those are things like, yeah, I might tell you stuff, but then if what I'm telling you is now like,
no, it's crazy.
In Vanity Fair.
Right, right, right.
And then my husband's reading it, my family's reading it, my friends are reading it. That's not great.
I read about one of them that the husband that was killed and was shot or something. And then it's like, I think it's Demi Moore's character.
Demi Moore, yeah. Ooh.
Girl.
She was great. They're all.
Yeah, so that's what I was wondering. Great. Like, who is the best girl in it, best actress?
It's hard.
Because Calista Flockhart looks fucking amazing too.
Yeah, it's they're all so good.
Mm.
I really like it. It's slow.
Yeah.
It's slow moving. But he's like a parasite to me. Like he latched on. And you know, I mean, Breakfast at Tiffany's and then In Cold Blood, you know what I mean? Like, so those are the two things. And he was able to like live off of that money. But then, you know, he's expected to still write and produce. And he like, he came from like, you know, his mom's in Alabama. It's like all of this stuff. It was good. I mean, and I have to say, I am a fan of In Cold Blood. That was I read that years and years ago, and I really liked it. So I think he's a good writer, and he was friends with, I believe.
Yeah, what's her name?
Escaping
I know.
Name.
I know exactly. Who you're
oh
talking
my
about.
God! I've taught this for Harper Lee.
Harper Lee.
Yeah,
they were like childhood friends, right?
Yeah, but there was something between them too.
Yeah,
where he like insulted her somehow. I forget. There was some falling out. I thought, but I could be wrong. But he's just a mess. He is a mess. Like, I'm at the part where he is.
Is he out?
The stuff that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he's in this relationship with. Oh, God. It is. I don't want to spoil it. But, man. Ooh. Watch it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. I got to watch it. I got to watch it.
And then we did watch the first episode of The Walking Dead.
Oh, how is it?
I liked it.
So.
There's one character I can't stand. This chick that's on there.
Spoilers. But like, what's the premise? Are they in a government facility? Like, what is going on?
Okay. So the premise is that it's 5 years later.
Okay.
So Rick has, you know, he's picked up by that helicopter.
Right,
and
right.
then so he's ends up in this place where there's like an actual like city. Like hundreds of thousands of people.
Holy shit.
And that no one, you know, like that they didn't know because it's like they're in another state. I forget what state they're. But there's like this inner and the outer. And so you're put in the outer when you first get there. And it's like everything has to be kept secret. And then after a certain amount of time, you can work your way into the city.
Okay.
But Rick is like the whole time like, I need to get to Michonne like that, you know, I got to get to my daughter, like, you know, Judith, and, you know, he's whatever. And it's like with this voiceover of him, like, I tried to get back to you. And like, so he's kind of like narrating and, ooh, he does some crazy stuff to escape. Yeah. But God, he looks good.
So
he looks good,
honey.
He looks
Andrew Lincoln.
Good.
Andrew
he
Lincoln
looks good. Like he came on the scene, I was like, oh my God! I feel like he looks even better than in the original. But very good looking.
Oh my God!
But he's like just fighting. You know Rick. Like he's just like he.
So
he,
does he get back to the inner? Does he ever get to the inner?
So the whole first episode is like, you know, they want him to. Like he tried to escape so many times that like when he, cause part of his job is like, you know, killing zombies to keep the city, the inner city safe. And they're on the outer or whatever the hell they call it. So they've got him attached because they don't want him. Cause he kept trying to flee. But every time he's like stopped and then they get him in, he finally relents and they're like, we want you to be in like this army kind of higher level position. And that allows him to move between the outer and the inner. Ooh, and then the last 5 minutes. I don't want to do spoiler, but oh my God.
Okay. Well, the other thing is.
So I don't know how it's going to go.
He hasn't found Michonne yet. Okay. Don't tell me. I don't know if I want to watch the show.
I don't think it's going to be a long. Isn't it like a limited series, right? Aren't they just wrapping it?
I don't know.
That's how I'm feeling. They better not prolong this.
Did Kirkman write this?
I don't know.
Robert Kirkman?
I don't know.
I mean, do we want to watch it if he's not a part of it?
I don't know. I liked, well, okay, there were things that I liked about it. There's one character I absolutely hate, and like, if
oh, I know what I was going to ask you.
If Rick wasn't there.
Yeah.
If it was Daryl, if it was whoever the hell else, or if it was just Michonne, I would be like, I can't watch this show because this character just, I don't know, she's annoying.
Carol.
No.
Oh.
No, it's a brand new character. Okay. I don't even know her name because she annoys me so much.
Yeah.
If she, if it was like more about her, and I feel like it's going to be, like, that's the only thing I don't like.
Yeah.
I'm like, can I get rid of this gonna ask person you, that I don't it, care about?
I always felt like when they picked Rick up that he was specific. Remember the garbage trash mm-hmm. lady? And she was like, I told you I would bring him or whatever. She yeah. was like talking to somebody on the phone.
Yes.
And so they no, it's specific. Like they wanted
want
Rick.
Yeah. And
who?
Even
by the way, who wanted
so
Rick?
this oh God, the CRA.
Nick and Tina told me the whole episode.
The CRA. It's like whatever this organization is, their whole thing is about like keeping everything a secret because they don't want people, I guess, to know. And then the people on the inside, like, they can't leave. So they're like living, there's electric, it's like living normal life.
Wow.
But they can't leave. And then the people on the outside can't go in until they like do their time.
Right.
But you know, they could have killed Rick a million times because he's sitting there trying to escape. Like, yeah. why hold on to this guy?
Yeah,
but they
I always wondered why Rick.
I guess they see people that are strong and mm-hmm. like potential for leadership and, you know, and
yeah.
Ooh.
Girl.
But
he's so cute.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just watching it for that.
Yeah. Oh my God. When Rick and Michonne used to thug on that show, girl, that was hot. It was so hot.
Yeah. Well,
oh my God.
Oh, there's a whole there's a whole thing. So we'll see. We'll
All
see
right.
what happens.
Well, but I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. There's one episode up right now.
Okay.
On like the AMC app or whatever.
Okay. So I'll check it out.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye. If you want to see any photos or take a deeper dive into our stories, please go to our website, www.themuckpodcast.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Muck Podcast and on our Twitter at Muck Podcast.
To support The Muck Podcast, please visit our Patreon page. We have three levels of support with exclusive content: Muckraker, Policy Wonk, or Bleeding Heart. We can't do this without you.